This is WHTC in Holland. It's time now for Talk of the Town, the program in which you, the listeners, participate with your telephone calls. Our Talk of the Town number is 395-1450. Our guest this morning is Representative Joe Havman. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning,
and it looks like things are going to get warm in Lansing.
Well, things have been very busy for me the past few weeks, and I'm still not done with it today. I'll be on conference calls later this afternoon talking about the budget. That's really what's consuming all of my time in Lansing right now, and we hope to have that wrapped up in the next couple of weeks.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Now, there's some things that are kind of hot on the docket right now, like the driver responsibility.
Well, we had a great week on that this week, and I've been working on driver responsibility fees really since I came in as a freshman and tried to do it around budget time last year, and the money I had set aside got earmarked for something else. But this year we have a bill that's been agreed upon by the governor and the speaker and the Senate Majority Leader to phase those out, and I'm just very proud of my colleagues this week that helped vote out my package of bills, or my one bill, and we had one other one from one of our Democrats, and send those two bills over to the Senate to start a phase out of driver responsibility fees. We anticipate a different bill being drafted and hopefully enacted on very shortly. And then that will come back to the House. So we've got progress, and we've got we can finally start getting rid of these fees that are so onerous on people that have made mistakes
right.
with their driving records, but are being double penalized by our courts and then by the Treasury of the state of Michigan.
And we have a call. Good morning. You're online with our guest.
Thing on the catastrophic insurance.
Well, we were just talking about that.
Okay, I think I've listened
to it. Okay, thank you.
Well, the catastrophic insurance is something that I hope is revisited this fall after our election break, and where people are going back and campaigning for their primaries. I guess it's on the back burner at this point.
Mm-hmm.
We still wrestle with an agreement that everyone can agree to change no fault. And frankly, the votes aren't there right now to move it forward.
I see. But the driver responsibility, you think we can move along?
The driver responsibility fees, we made tremendous progress in a week and a half.
Mm-hmm.
We went from at loggerheads with my Senate counterpart to an agreement between the governor and the speaker and the Senate majority leader. And that has broke things loose. So
okay.
Wednesday, I was able to vote out, as I said, my bill, 108-0, and send it over to the Senate.
Pretty good.
That's not bad. So I'm very proud of that. And it's not going to take effect immediately. If this gets through, and I anticipate it will not be an immediate forgiveness or amnesty of those that have driver responsibility fees. It'll be a gradual phase out so the state treasury can learn to live within its means
right.
as that revenue continues to go down over the next few years.
All right. We're back here on a beautiful morning with Representative Joe Havman. And if you have a question for Joe, 395-1450. All right. In the last few days, I've heard a lot about Detroit.
Well, yesterday we finally voted out an 11-bill package to complete the settlement to bring Detroit out of bankruptcy.
Mm-hmm.
And it was probably, unfortunately, I was in the back room working on budget issues as the debate was going on. And I said to my staff and those that I was working with, unfortunately, this is probably one of the biggest votes I will take in my 6 years. And I'm not there to listen to most of the debate. But I'm very proud of the votes that came out and the bipartisanship that we did it in to bring those 11 bills back to the Senate and start to head us out of bankruptcy with Detroit. This, I've seen the Facebook post, and I know that some people may criticize and say we don't need a bailout of Detroit. They should fix their own problems. The fact is that's not a reasonable request. They are in so deep, and Detroit is so important to the Michigan economy that we need to figure out a way to get them back on track. And what this settlement package did is it doesn't just restore, send money to Detroit for those pensioners. That's part of it. But it sets up a structure where the state is going to monitor them, or a financial commission will monitor the city of Detroit for the next 15 to 20 to maybe 30 years if they don't behave.
Mm-hmm.
If they behave and change the way they've done business and they have better leadership in place now, they could be out from under this in maybe 13 to 15 years.
Mm-hmm. Got a call here. Good morning. You're on the line with Joe.
Yes, sir. I've spoken to Joe through email before, but in regards to some of our local companies that are running semi-trailers with out-of-state plates on, that they run in the area, has there ever been anything where you look at with all the states and get together and set a base fee so that our local companies ain't going out and buying main permanent plates for their trailers and beating up our roads that way?
What kind of trailers do you mean, sir?
Semi-trailers.
Semi-trailers?
You know, the bigger trucks. You see a lot of semi-trailers running around with main plates on, you know, there's permanent plates. Just like Michigan is, but,
yeah.
You know, you see a lot of local companies running local trailers all over the place that, you know, in the state, they never get out of the state, but they're running main plates on them. So is there a way to get together with all the states and set the same fee so that every state has the same fee so all your plates are licensed for that state?
Well, typically, you know, trying to do a blanket fee across multiple states, sometimes we like to compete against each other as states. So you might have a state south of us that intentionally is lowering their fees. We do that in a lot of respects of compare ourselves to other states, look at their fee structure, look at their cost. We do that on our department cost and everything we work on. But to come up with a uniform structure, I've not heard that talked about before. I think I do remember you and I talking about it. Let me discuss that with the Senate, because our senator, because we are looking at a package of bills coming out of the Senate to look at road funding on that as well.
Right, because we do lose a lot of money to other states, you know, when they go out of state and buy them plates for the trailers, and then they keep them local, and, you know, they abuse their roads just like we do, you know.
Sure.
So
okay.
I thought that'd be another way to, you know, make sure the money stay in state to fix our roads.
Okay. Well, very good. I'll contact Ireland Meekoff, and we'll have a conversation about that.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
All right.
Well, I want to just return to Detroit because that is so important. It's interesting. Raj Victory from Jenison area sits right behind me on the House floor, and he asked me yesterday, he said, Joe, are you getting any calls about the Detroit votes? So I called my office. Roger got one. And I got zero.
Hmm.
Now, we know that there's some parts of the state closer to Detroit, the Macomb and Oakland County, where some of those members were getting a lot of calls,
yeah,
saying we put enough money into Detroit. Around here, I find general strong support for helping Detroit and getting them out of this. And as I said, what this package of bills did was it secured the pensioners, the former employees of Detroit, with those pensions that could have gone south completely. We could have lost them. And if that had happened, a couple things would have happened. The taxpayers, Michigan taxpayers, could have been on the hook for all of those pensions.
Right.
And secondly, those people could have gone into the social public sector network, welfare, and cost us even more money. So that was one reason to do this package of bills. But the main one was to restructure Detroit, bring it back, and give it the supervision that this not happen again. And I met with both the mayor of Detroit and with the emergency manager, Kevin Orr. Kevin Orr has been through this with the cities of, I believe, Pittsburgh and Washington, D.C. This settlement agreement is structured very much like Washington, D.C.'s was years ago and what New York City was in the 70s. And New York City, I vaguely remember that bankruptcy in New York City. I was pretty young then, but they are just coming out in 2014. They're just starting to come out from that financial oversight. And yet we didn't know about this. I wouldn't have known that oversight committee existed unless I had been involved in this. So I'm excited about the fact that we're not just bailing Detroit out. We're restructuring Detroit and giving new oversight to see that this not happen again.
Well, it's getting some attention from some high-profile financiers as well.
Well, I heard that. My wife actually sent me a text yesterday because I was in Lansing. I didn't see it on TV, but evidently Chase Bank has committed $100 million. We're starting to see Detroit's starting to come back even without this settlement.
Right.
But not to the extent that would have helped the pensioners. It's fantastic to see the money that's going to be invested into Detroit already is into the downtown. But now if we can continue that into the residential areas and the commercial areas, we truly will see the city come back.
Meijer is building some stores there?
Meijer has a great store, I believe, right up on 8 Mile, the old State Fairgrounds area. When you go to downtown Detroit, there are parts of it that they say that you can't find an apartment to rent anymore because it's so popular. That area around Wayne State and the DMC, Midtown they call it, is just extremely popular with young people. The downtown area around the Tiger Stadium is very popular. So we're starting to see the success come back.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll ever be a $1.8 million or a 1.8 million person city like it was in 1958. It's been declining ever since then. That was its peak. But we're starting to see the comeback happen. I'm proud to say that I was part of that vote.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. Good morning. You're online with Joe.
Well, good morning, Duke. Thank you for taking my call. I'm just curious if there's anything in this package of bills to bail out Detroit, if there's any provision to prevent the occurrence of unfunded future liabilities so that this doesn't happen again. I wonder if Mr. Hoffman has checked into that and if there are any provisions to prevent future unfunded liabilities, and I'll listen for the response off air.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, caller. That, thanks for letting me clarify it. That's exactly what this does. And this sets up that Michigan Financial Review Commission for the next dozen years, if everything goes perfect, but it'll be longer if there's glitches in the system. So if Detroit comes out of this and they do everything right and they run themselves like we would here in Holland, they can get from under that review commission. And then if they fall back into bad habits and do this again, that financial review commission will come back into place and have oversight over their day-to-day operations. So that's exactly what this does. It ties them if they fall back into old bad habits. If they end up with a mayor that, like we've seen in the past with past mayors, Mr. Kilpatrick, and they start making self-serving decisions without regard to the financial wherewithal in the vision of the future, the Financial Review Commission will come back into place and have oversight over them.
Okay. Good morning. You're on the line with Joe.
Yes, good morning. Really, the purpose of the call is to thank Representative Hoffman. He is going to be missed. He's such a well-thought-out person. He's got integrity. He does the right thing. And he's a good example of why I think term limits were a mistake. So thank you, Representative Hoffman.
Well, thank you, sir. Those are very kind words. And believe me, I'm going to miss it, too.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning. You're on the line with Joe.
Good morning, Joe. What a beautiful sunny day, huh?
Yes.
Joe, I have a question for you. Regards the gas tax increase, and I was wondering if the legislature was going to make sure that later on when that thing's got a lot of money because it hasn't been used, if they're going to make sure the legislature can't grab it again and do something stronger than just dedicating it. Anyway, that's my question. Have a good day, guys.
Well, thank you.
Dedicating it is the tool we have of trying to dedicate certain money towards certain projects so other legislatures can't dabble with it. We can't really go beyond that, beyond that kind of enforcement. I can't obligate a future legislature to something that I pass today. If they want to go back and change things, as I've changed things from previous legislatures, as I'm doing with the driver responsibility fees, I have that authority. I have that right as your representative to make those changes while I'm in office. So there's no guarantees. There's no 100%. All we can do is what we can while we are there. And dedicating that fund is the biggest lock you have on that to make sure that those monies go into roads.
Good morning. You're on the line with Joe.
Yes, I would like to know how come it, you know, a lot of these big cities have had these problems, and why do we allow these people to run these cities the way they do and run it in the ground, and then all of a sudden everybody has to sink $1 million and more or whatever into it to make it good again? You know, I mean, look at all the crookedness and that went on, and why don't we do something about it before it goes that far? We see on TV all these houses falling down and all these terrible things going on there with prostitution. It all sounds wonderful, and it is maybe in the inner city getting fine, but look around to the other parts of the city, and, you know, why do we allow this to happen? Always look who's running it. Hey, do something about it before it gets that bad.
Ma'am, you're absolutely correct, and it's unfortunate. The city of Detroit took decades to get to the low point that it was at a few years ago. And what people need to remember is that cities and townships are a product of the state. We do have financial obligation to make sure they're successful. So the state of Michigan is as complicit as those council people and those mayors that have let this thing fail for decades. We are responsible for it, and I'm just thankful that we finally have a governor and a legislature that stood up and said enough is enough, and the governor put in Kevin Orr as the financial manager. They did the bankruptcy to say, we've got to fix this once and for all. So you're right, and you talk about putting in $1 million. That's a drop in the bucket. We're going to put in $194.5 million. To secure those pensioners, people that went to work for years and years and thought they were going to have a secure pension, and because of the problems of their own city fathers, that those pensions were at risk. So we're securing those pensions, but as I said, the thing that makes this worthwhile is the Financial Security Commission that's going to have oversight over that city for the next few decades to make sure that they don't slip back into old bad habits.
Okay, 395-1450 is our number if you'd like to talk to Joe. Well, with the influx of outside money and the state, we should have Detroit well on the road to recovery.
Well, it's going to take years. I mean, certainly they're not going to turn into success overnight. You know, I look at what the city of Grand Rapids has done and how it's come back. That took many years. Grand Rapids is one of the flagship cities, I think, of the Midwest, and its reputation continues to grow. We need to build that momentum in Detroit that they start coming back.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I'm going to see it in my lifetime, where we're extremely proud of Detroit again, and it'll continue and it'll grow into the economic powerhouse that fuels Michigan.
There's so many homes that need rebuilding or redoing or completely taken out of there.
Yes, and what you're seeing, the other part of this that's exciting, is the philanthropy that we're used to seeing here in West Michigan is stepping up in Detroit, and they're raising millions and millions of dollars to help the private sector money to help Detroit as well.
Right. Good morning. You're on the line with Joe.
Yes. Question I have for Mr. Adamman, on the minimum wage, what is the House going to do with that?
The minimum wage, as you know, the Senate is sending us a package of bills or a bill to index that, to raise it up to a certain level and then index that. We will be looking at that very shortly. We're not completely supportive of what the Senate did, but somehow to keep it from going to that $10 an hour range is certainly critical. I mean, we are going to damage the jobs of the very people that the other side thinks they're going to help. I've had three daughters that have worked as waitresses, and I had this conversation with my middle daughter last week, and she said, if I made that kind of money waitressing, I'd probably quit my other job. I mean, they want to take away the tip credits. on waitressing. They want to raise it to $10.10 an hour. And I'll tell you, this is not going to help the economy. This is going to cause more unemployment. It is going to cause inflation in our job sector. And the very people that you're trying to help at those low-income jobs are going to lose their jobs if this continues to go through.
Well, everything is based on, I mean, you know, like Burger King or McDonald's, if you pay them, you know, minimum wage, and they probably make more than that, you know, you can make minimum wage $100. So
but you and I won't buy a hamburger.
Well, you'd have to pay $3,500 for that hamburger.
Yes.
I mean, it's economics. Come on, think about the economics. I mean, minimum wage was set up for entry-level jobs.
Exactly.
And in my opinion, you get paid what you're worth. And if you're worth more, obviously your employer will probably pay you more. If not, you'll be looking for another job.
You know? Right. Well, and something that was brought up this week, as everyone knows, reentry issues for our corrections people. People coming out of prison is very important, close to my heart. I've had people come to me and say, this is going to devastate reentry. People coming out of prison and jail that need that entry-level job, need a training job to get their skills back, are never going to be able to find a job. So
correct.
We're going to hurt the very people that someone thinks we're trying to help.
Correct. Yep, I agree with you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sir, thank you.
Let's take time out here for the weather, and the weather is brought to you by the Farmhouse Restaurant. Have you tried their giant homemade cinnamon rolls? The Farmhouse Restaurant in Zeeland at Maine and Washington. And the weather today, sunny with a high of 61, and tonight clear with a low of 45. Tomorrow, abundant sunshine with a high of 70, and Sunday it's going to be sunny with a high of 74 degrees. We're looking forward a nice day on Memorial Day with a stray thunderstorm, but a high of 78 degrees. Looking for a good weekend there, Joe. Michigan should make money this weekend.
That's good. That's great.
And we should all benefit from that.
Well, it's a little cool out there right now, but I was out for a run already today, and the sun is shining, and maybe summer is finally getting here.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. All right. 395-1450, if you have a question for Joe. We have a few minutes left here yet that we can take questions, so give us a call. All right. Anything else you wanted to cover this morning, Joe?
Well, just an update. You know, as I've said, my focus for the past few weeks and the next 2 weeks, I believe, is the budget. I've been going in on... Typically, I'm not there on Mondays and Fridays, but I've been going in to have budget meetings. We do have more money than we did. Even though we saw a couple weeks ago the revenue estimating forecast lowered the estimates from our January estimate, that is by no means a crisis. The state is in good financial shape. We're still going to put money into the budget stabilization fund. And I'm just excited that when I leave this state, when I leave this job at the end of this year, we are going to have Michigan in better financial shape, with more confidence in its economy, more confidence in its state government than when I got there. And it's nice to be there at the right time.
Yes, it is.
sometimes success is just being in the right place at the right time, and I'm proud to have said that I could have been there. I can't say enough about this governor and what he's done for this state and his pragmatic view of solving problems.
Now, if the national people would cooperate and give us more jobs and get more taxes into the state coffers and the national coffers for that matter.
Juke, I hear it time and time again in Lansing. I hear it around town here. If Washington only operated the way Michigan does, if they'd only look at the cooperation that we've created, and you saw it yesterday with the Detroit Bills, of Democrats and Republicans coming together and solving a problem, starting down that road. We followed that. My good friend John Walsh from Livonia chaired this Detroit settlement. He's an attorney. He's done a wonderful job. At the end of that package of bills, you saw Democrats and Republicans stand up and applaud him, and that doesn't happen more than once in a number of years at the State House.
Good morning. You're on the line with Joe.
Hi, and Joe, when you leave this job, are you leaving with a pension and health care? What I'm getting at is, what do you think of the part-time legislature?
Well, I am not leaving with either a health care or a pension. What I have in my 401k is what I have. So I will be, and as everyone knows that I talk to, I am looking for employment. And we're going to be pursuing that in earnest over the summer after the budget is done. But the part-time legislature, I can't say that it won't work because so many states have it. But there are trade-offs. And you're going to have less accountability. I'll tell you that if it were a part-time legislature, Joe Hobman wouldn't be here at 9:30 in the morning talking on the radio.
That's right.
Because I'd be at my day job earning a paycheck. So there's going to be trade-offs. And when somebody calls my office, you're going to talk to a staffer. You won't have the opportunity to talk to me. I'll be there I would be there a couple months a year to deal with the big issues, and I know that's part of it. But you would lose the personal service, you'd lose the constituency service that I enjoy so much. And frankly, what seems like a small issue to most taxpayers, if it's your bill, driver responsibility fees is a good example. It may not affect more than a few thousand people in this state, but for those few thousand people, this is a big issue. And it's unlikely that those kind of issues would be dealt with at the state level. I'm not telling you that a part-time legislature can't work. I will say that the people that have drafted this legislation have narrowed it too narrow, and they've restricted it too much. They've cut too many people at the administrative level in Lansing, and this is a bad bill, or a bad legislation, ballot initiative. If it passes, it's going to hurt Michigan. So I don't support this one. I would encourage, if we want to do this, that we look at some experts from Lansing with the community input, looking at how other states do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you wouldn't have the availability of your legislators would decrease tremendously.
Well, the Legislative Service Bureau is the team of attorneys in Lansing that write our bills for us. They are the experts, and this even cuts their staff. Somehow, you and I, Juke, are going to sit down in a coffee shop and draw up legislation, and I'm going to pass that back in Lansing. I'll tell you, that system just isn't going to work.
Right. We're out of time, Joel. Thanks so much for being here this morning.